I'm Colleen Kristen Brewster, owner of On The Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster Travel Agency. You'll hear me a lot on the Phil Henry Show and a lot of other guests, but I don't exist. Phil made me up.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Okay, Lloyd Bonafide is with us. He's a Korean War veteran. Do you represent an official Korean War veteran group, Lloyd, or...
Oh, yeah, sir, just a group of 16 veterans here in Alhambra, California.
Okay, well, are you on a cordless?
Yes, sir.
Okay, it's a little scratchy there. You guys have signed a letter that is going to be delivered to President Bush concerning the China situation?
If I could read, Mr. Henry, from some notes...
Go ahead.
I'm a Korean War veteran. My name is Lloyd Bonafide, United States Navy veteran. And along with 16 other veterans, we are gravely disappointed by our president's actions in apologizing to the Chinese and have signed a letter to that effect. And I would say, sir, that I will tell you that we had never thought we'd ever see the day that we would second-guess a decision by a commander-in-chief, but it is my belief that the president tactically erred in apologizing to the Red Chinese, who still currently hold our hardware. And I want to emphasize that point.
Yes, they do. They have our plane.
They still currently hold our hardware without taking some preemptive measure against the country being humiliated.
Now, in your letter, if you don't mind me interrupting.
Yes, sir.
In your letter, you have some suggestions for the president, is that correct?
Well, it's not suggestions. I believe that the president acted out of a misguided notion that we were coming from a point of weakness. I believe there is one way in which the Chinese government can be sent a very clear and decisive message. And I'll refer back to my notes if I could.
Go ahead.
In the National Zoo in Washington, D.C., we hold two Chinese pandas at present. These animals were given to our country as a gift. I believe we should tell the Chinese that while we are appreciative of their gifts, America cannot be bought. Accordingly, I would volunteer to travel to Washington, D.C. as per a vote of our veterans group. I would make all arrangements myself. I would prefer to travel by train as to avoid detection of a weapon, but that's up to the president and his staff. I would.
Well, you're talking about a weapon. What are you doing? You're going to Washington, D.C. to do what? And is this to avenge?
This, sir, is to give a clear message to the Chinese.
So you're traveling by train.
I would prefer it, sir, because I would, if I could finish reading from my notes.
All right.
I would then await a signal from the president, and upon his signal would go to the National Zoo and put two slugs into each panda from a Mark 7 Desert Eagle 44 Magnum. This puts the animals down and sends a clear message to the Red Chinese.
All right, whoa, hold on for a minute, okay?
I wanted to finish.
Hold on for just a second. You want to travel to Washington, D.C., and shoot the two pandas that are in the National Museum, or the National Zoo?
Yes, I would put the animals down.
And what is that going to do?
Mr. Henry, that not only tells the Chinese we do not apologize, but here's what we think of you, and I don't mind telling you it isn't very much.
Kill two endangered innocent creatures for what?
To honor something a little more endangered, sir, the sovereignty of the United States. I don't know if you can hear me.
I can hear you fine, okay? You got a scratchy phone.
To honor the sovereignty of the United States.
Now, I know this is a group of... You don't represent Korean War veterans. You represent some 16 veterans.
It's a group of Korean War veterans, sir, who served our country. And we fought the Chinese, sir. And we fought the Chinese. And to give in to them...
Do you see what President Bush is... Your phone is really bad.
I apologize.
All right. Do you see President Bush as having apologized to the Chinese?
I think President Bush has been a clear disappointment as a commander-in-chief. And I will, on his signal, travel to Washington, D.C., to the National Zoo, locate the panda exhibit, and terminate both animals. I think we have to send a clear message.
You're going to travel. All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show. This is Lloyd Bonafide, a Korean War veteran. You believe that we send the message to the Chinese that we don't apologize for the plane by going to the National Zoo and putting two slugs each
into the pandas, yes, sir. And I understand what you're saying about them being innocent animals, and I think you need to understand they are just that, animals. They're not human beings. This is not a crime against, this is not a mortal sin.
Don't you think that's a little bit of a crime to inflict upon two beautiful endangered animals like pandas that were given to us from the Chinese people?
Make no mistake, sir. There is no giving gifts from the Chinese people. These are gifts given by a government trying to buy us or otherwise humiliate us.
All right. Well, it seems to me that it's a natural crime of some kind to kill two pandas to make a political statement.
Well, it is a very sad statement on this, on where this country is right now, that the only thing we can do to stick it to the Chinese is to shoot these pandas.
And what makes you think they'll care? You know, the Chinese are going to watch you go to Washington, D.C. with a Magnum 44. Did you say that? You said
it is a Mark 7 Desert Eagle Magnum 44. It is fully equipped to put down two animals of that size. Yes, sir.
Okay, I keep remembering Clint Eastwood saying that could blow somebody's head off. That's a powerful weapon, isn't it?
It is equipped to put down two animals of that size. Yes, sir.
You're going to go over there and shoot these two pandas, and what makes you think the Chinese are going to care? What makes you think that the Chinese aren't just going to say, look at these insane Americans? And
I hope they think we're insane. I hope they think we're dingier than crazier than hell. Because I want...
The whole thing about what President Bush was saying to these guys was that we don't want to damage relations any further, okay?
And As I said, I am disappointed in him as a commander-in-chief because I think it damages relations between our countries.
All right, now you're making the point that you want to go to Washington, D.C. because you're a Korean War veteran.
I along with 17 other veterans, signed this because we were engaged... We're the only veterans group to have actively fought the Red Chinese. And I don't mind telling you, sir, they are godless and obviously difficult people to...
Okay, your phone is messed up, so I'm going to put you on hold here for a minute, Lloyd.
Huh?
I'm going to put you on hold because your phone is very scratchy.
All right.
Now hold on for a minute because I'm going to take a phone call, but hold just... Can you get a better... I guess there's no wave. 1-800-449-8686. Lloyd Bonafide, a Korean War veteran, United States Navy, wants to put two bullets each into the pandas at the National Zoo. You back, sir?
Yes, sir. I'm right here.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Tom, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that guy that's on the radio there, the Korean War vet, I am so thankful that he was, you know, a war vet and all that. But
thank you very much. Thank you very much.
And, I mean, you can't kill two pandas to prove a point.
These animals were given to the United States as a gift from the Chinese government, and we can certainly... They still hold our hardware.
Yeah,
I
agree with you on that. I want the plane back.
Yes, sir.
But the thing is, I think George Bush and his cabinet did a great job of, A, getting our people back,
uh-huh,
and B, they're still under negotiations for the plane and future considerations for our spying.
There's a good point. We're still negotiating with them, okay?
And I say we negotiate from a position of strength, and the way you do that with the Red Chinese, who I would say to you young men, I fought as a veteran, is to show them what for. And you put a couple of bullets in these pandas, and I can tell you that will make them take a step back.
I think you've had too many vodka times.
You know, I don't
see how putting a bullet in a panda is going to prove any point to
the Chinese will realize we're serious.
But they're animals, and the Chinese will think that we are wasteful, cruel, imbecilic people.
So you're characterizing me as an imbecile, sir.
I didn't call you an imbecile, okay? I said that...
You characterize what I said as imbecile. Pandas are not... They sit and they eat bamboo, and what do they do? Do you know,
yeah, but
sir?
The point is how does that become
They sit and eat bamboo, and what do they do? They're setting diplomatic policy.
Right, right. All right, listen, Tom, thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686. We got to get that guy off that cordless, if nothing else. Phil Henry Show, this Korean War veteran and a group of Korean War vets have written a letter to President Bush. They are volunteering to come to Washington, D.C. and shoot both pandas that were given to this country as a gift from the Chinese government as a way of, quote, proving to the Chinese we don't think much of them. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Right, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show. With me is Lloyd Bonafide. He is a Korean War veteran, part of a Korean War group of vets who have written a letter to President Bush saying they are disappointed in his handling of the showdown with China. As Korean War veterans, they say they're the only veterans who have actively engaged the Chinese in combat, and they feel the only way to save face. And you say the only way to save face is to go to what National Zoo in Washington and shoot the pandas?
Yes, sir.
And you're volunteering for that duty?
Sir, I am a Korean War veteran, and I have active military experience with the Chinese. And they are...
But you're going to travel by train with a gun in case someone detects you on an airplane?
You cannot travel on an airplane with a weapon, no, sir.
And on a prearranged signal from President Bush... Shoot the pandas.
I will try. We'll enter the national. Yes, sir. Enter the National Zoo in order. You know something, Mr. Henry? People forget what we did in Korea.
I'm not forgetting. I just want to know what the plan is here. Let me take a phone call, all right? Let me take a phone call?
Yes, sir.
All right. Here is Patrick on the Phil Henry Show. Patrick, go ahead.
Yeah, Phil, I'm driving home here in Houston on the freeway, and I recognize the voice of this fella. As a caller, he called in a couple of weeks ago to some program, and he was stating that he was incensed because someone came through the line in the grocery store ahead of him and took 11 items instead of 10 items.
Oh, what's that got to do with what we're talking about right now?
And before he was finished with that, that of course was a slap in the face to all Korean veterans somehow. But more than that, before he was finished, he was planning to explain that he could snap the necks, quote, he learned how to snap necks in Korea, and that he could snap
sir,
the caller's necks if he had a mind to.
Sir, I'm a Korean War veteran. I've been taught combat training. And individuals who would insult the veterans of this country, yes, sir, if it came down to it.
How did somebody going through the grocery store slap the face of the Korean War veterans?
Are you getting in line with 11 items in a 10-item line, and you're telling me that doesn't spit into the face of every veteran?
I cannot believe you, for real.
Mister, I feel sorry for you.
Why don't you just snap the necks on the pandas? You don't need any weapon.
Well, Mr. Henry, do I have to answer that?
The gentleman called in. He's a caller.
Yeah, I would say something else, too.
Sir, I'd like to have an opportunity to respond to his comment.
Go ahead.
If you want me to, yes, sir, I could snap the neck of the panda. But it doesn't seem like a humane way to terminate the individual.
I see. And, okay. We have a humane animal killer.
Oh, wait a second. I get it. I'm crazy, and so you're going to patronize me. Is that it?
No. I will tell you something. I know you're sure not, but, you know, you sound a lot like Mickey Rooney.
You know something, sir? I consider that a compliment.
All right. What
you sound like? Deputy Dog. You ever seen that show? And you know something? If you served in the United States military as I did, then perhaps you'd have a little more respect.
Yeah, well, I happen to have served in the United States military.
Well, then you understand that...
I'm a Vietnam veteran, but I don't see how that ties in any way to the pandas,
nor
to the grocery store.
Number one, as a veteran, Mr. Bush is not making a very good showing as a commander-in-chief.
Yeah,
and I would say that the way to send a clear and concise message to the Chinese is to put two slugs each into these pandas.
Do you know how ridiculous you sound?
And you, as a veteran, sound ridiculous for not wanting to do something to save the face of this country.
I think you're ashamed to all real veterans with those kinds of comments. Imagine people listening to you.
Look, a veteran, first of all, I want to jump in here.
Mr. Henry, you're not a veteran.
Well, I'm going to jump in anyway. If you're a veteran, you don't learn how to kill panda bears in boot camp, right?
And you're trying to tell me now?
I'm not going to tell you anything. It's that you guys are in you go to the war to shoot other people. You're going to go and kill pandas.
I'm not relishing the idea of killing two innocent animals. I'm trying to send a message to the Chinese, which our president as yet doesn't have the guts. Yes, sir, I said the guts to do it.
All right, look at...
If I can kill a Chinaman, I can kill a panda.
Boy.
What do you think of that, Patrick?
I think I cannot believe you're for real. I cannot believe that you are really for real.
Well, I can't believe you're for real as a Vietnam veteran not backing me up, at least on the concept that
President
Bush... Do
you mean to tell me your 16 other veterans actually let you act as a spokesman for them?
That's,
I cannot believe that.
That is... I'd like to know who these other veterans...
I will show you, Mr. Henry, a certified and signed copy of the letter that we signed for President Bush. And I'm ashamed that you allow this man to come on and besmirch the name of the Korean veteran. He's a Vietnam veteran, so he thinks he's better than me because he was in Vietnam.
I'm not besmirching Korean
veterans. All right, General, I don't want to...
I'm besmirching you.
All right, listen, Patrick, thank you for your call, okay?
You bet.
1-800-449-8686.
Well, that's one man's opinion.
That is correct. That's one man's opinion. To go and to shoot a freaking panda, here is Cheryl on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
First of all, I would like to say that I respect any and all veterans. My father was a...
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I, however, do believe that this gentleman is living in the past, that we're not hating the communists anymore, that this is a worldwide economy and a worldwide interaction of nations.
Look, that global economy deal, that's a whole, new world order.
My dear, we got another Bush in there, to get along.
Huh?
I think that George Bush did an admirable job.
What'd you say?
I said I think that George Bush and his staff, people like Colin Powell and Dick Cheney, they got our guys home safe.
But the Chinese lifted their leg to the American flag, and to me that is something that must go redressed.
That is not my perception of what happened.
What'd you say?
That is not my perception of how this whole thing came to
end. You say that you like veterans. And I will tell you that I lost my wife 2 years ago. I loved her very much. Hmm? And I don't know if you're single or if you go to any of the social mixers.
Oh, sir, my father was a World War II veteran.
Uh-huh.
People of my age went to Vietnam.
Do you go to any of the social mixers?
No, not at all. I'm not involved in the VFW.
You don't play Scrabble or any of the games? They get together on a Friday night and they have, beer and cocktails.
I don't think that what you're talking about now is pertinent to the question.
What are we talking about?
I wanted to ask the lady, as a gentleman, if she was interested in contacting me later.
No.
So that we might have a cocktail and she could hear my story.
I respect your story and your opinion on this, except for the part about shooting the pandas. That doesn't...
You know something, I will tell you, it used to be a lot of guys in my outfit that would be crude and rude, and they'd see a gal in one of these bars that we'd go into in Tokyo.
What has that got to do with why I called?
Right.
I'm calling to...
We're talking about President...
But I wanted to say that these guys would ask these gals, can you do splits over a golf ball? And I'll never forget being humiliated and offended by these comments. Oh, you think I find it humiliating. If I asked you to do splits over a golf ball...
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show, speaking with a Korean War veteran, Lloyd Bonafide, representing a group of 18 Korean War vets who believe that the way to redress the grievance with China, and that President Bush apologized, even though he says he didn't apologize, Mr. Bonafide. Okay?
That's just not right. We apologized. We apologized to the pilot's widow. We apologized to the Chinese government. And I think that this guy, Bush, didn't show the guts that his old man showed, I think, there
Gulf War.
In the Gulf War, right. So I think...
So going to Washington and shooting two pandas is the way to go.
Uh-huh.
You agree with that?
Yes, sir.
Let me talk to Don. Don, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello?
Yes.
Go ahead, Don.
Yes, I'd like to just make a point. The gentleman keeps saying the pandas were given to the United States. They do not belong to us. They belong to China. They were loaned to us at the rate of, I think, $1 million a year each.
Well, so, then that makes the idea of going to the National Zoo, locating them and putting them down an even better idea in light of the fact that we'd be spitting in their face.
Well, I still don't think that's the way to go.
Huh?
I don't think that is the way to go, even though
what's
the pandas
that?
Do belong to China. That is not the way to go.
Imagine if somebody has something that they're renting from you, and they decide just to throw it out a window onto the street. Well, sir, I bet you that'd make you a little hot under the collar.
Well, is the idea to make them hot under the collar, or is the idea to just tell them that we won't be, you know, that we won't be back
no,
down?
I think you're selling Bush short.
Yeah.
I think you're selling Bush very short.
Say
give
that again?
Him a chance. Give our people a chance to do their thing, and I think you'll find out.
Could you speak
the United
up?
States, the United States is not going to back up.
All right, Don, I can't hear you. Could you speak up?
Well, I thought I was. The United States is not going to back up. Give our
a
president
little bit louder.
And his people a chance to do their thing, and they will.
What?
Can't you hear him?
No, sir.
Could you be a little louder, Don?
They'll
yes,
think twice
if you would. If you would stop your rhetoric and give our president and his staff the time, they will do what is right. The United States never has and is not going to back up
what?
From the Chinese.
I can't
or
hear
no
that
else.
GD thing he's saying.
All right, listen, Donnie, we had a little.
They'll think twice about messing with the United States of America. Yes, sir.
Okay, Don, listen, thank you for your call.
I'm going to drop off on my cells, giving a lot of static.
You're doing what?
I'm getting a lot of static. I'm going to drop off.
You're dropping off?
Yes.
What, your taxes?
No, he's dropping off the phone line, dropping off his taxes.
Mr. Henry, I'm having a difficult...
Obviously you are, and I could tell you were on a phone there.
He says we're giving China static, you bet.
Didn't say we're giving China static. He said that he had static. Here is Daryl on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yeah, hey, Phil.
Yes, sir.
All I wanted to say was I'm an ex-Marine, Vietnam veteran. I was a grunt in 1968. And if this guy is criticizing the president, then I pretty much know the president made the right decision because this guy is some kind of an idiot.
Oh, I'm an idiot. You're calling a fellow veteran an idiot.
Absolutely.
Sir, I have at my disposal full camouflage. We have night vision. I do have a skinning knife and fishing line.
Well, what's that got to do with anything, being an idiot? You know,
you know what? You're an idiot. You're a Marine. You couldn't even win that GD Vietnam War, for crying out loud. With these items that I just mentioned, along with a Desert Eagle.
I don't think you won in Korea either, did you?
Sir, we backed the Chinese all the way up to the Yalu River, I'll have you know.
Yeah, well, you didn't win that one either. Didn't win.
They didn't go commie, did they?
You didn't win.
They didn't go commie. With those items that I mentioned, sir, at a .44 Magnum, I can take those pandas out at the signal from President Bush. Then we'll see what kind of a man he is.
What are you doing, man? If he's your commander-in-chief, you ought to do what he wants you to do. And what do you mean night vision goggles?
Yeah, what's that all about?
I beg your pardon?
What's that?
What's that all about?
What's what all about?
Night vision goggles, skin and knives. Are you, you know?
That's to go to the National Zoo and take out the pandas, as I was trying to explain to the audience.
What are you going to do, skin them and send them back home or what?
What's that?
What are you going to do, skin them and send them back home?
What do you need the fishing line for?
Yeah. That's to tie them up, I guess.
What'd you say?
What, do you got to tie them up before you
tie them up before you shoot them?
You know, both of you guys, you could go straight to the Hades. That's what I say to both of you.
Well, look it, man. You're going to the National Zoo with fishing line, a skinning knife, night vision goggles, a .44 Magnum. You're going to tie these bears up?
No, I'm not. What I'm going to do is you come up behind the animal and you garrot it. You use the fishing line to strangle the animal first.
What's
Daryl,
the
you
for,
as a Marine, you should know this.
Well, I tell you what. A Marine wouldn't even need the knife or the gun. He'd just need the fishing line. So I guess the Navy has to have a backup.
Here goes the Marine jokes about the Navy. I knew it wouldn't be long. I knew you
the
guys
Dixie
would
cups.
Start. I knew you'd start in with your Popeye jokes.
The Dixie cups.
Mr. Bush will hide around the corner, and when he gives the secret signal, which is a bird sound, he'll attack the...
Yeah, okay, great. Okay, this guy's a flake case. It's obvious that he's a flake case, and it's obvious that whatever letter he sent to us, he's got to sneak up behind the panda and strangle it with the fishing line before he shoots it. All right, Mike, I want to talk to you during the commercial break, please. It's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. This is a, it sounds like a talk show, but we are very proud to say we can't stand talk radio here, and we prove it each and every day. I saw a movie this past week, and I want to start out by saying that we had full-on sugar shock at Easter, but I got to tell you about this flick that I saw. My in-laws, Al and Viola, had us watch a movie called The Naked Prey with Cornel Wilde. And this movie came out in 1966. It was directed and produced by Cornel Wilde, and it's basically about a guy who's with a hunting party in Africa. And the other members of the hunting party somehow offend the local tribesmen in this African countryside, and the local tribesmen, who turn out naturally to be cannibals, slaughter the entire hunting party, roast one guy, make another guy crawl on the ground until he gets bit by a snake. Another guy, you know, you don't even know what happened to him, but you see the cannibals all drinking his blood. So it's very gruesome. But that's just the beginning of the movie. And then comes this chase where he is given a 10-second, the lone surviving member of this hunting party is given a 10-second head start by the tribesmen, and that's only because he was very respectful of them, and he wasn't a part of this disrespect that was leveled against them. So he's given a 10-second head start, he's completely naked and barefoot, and now the movie begins, and it's about him trying to get away. And eventually, of course, he's the hero of the movie, he does get away, and he winds up setting fires and doing all kinds of things to keep these tribesmen from capturing him. And at the very end, he makes his way to this colonial fortress, this British fortress, and I assume it's in 19th century Africa, and the British soldiers shoot the pursuing tribesmen. But what got me to thinking about it is I thought, look at that. Now, a guy roasted on a spit. Now, that's a good thing for Johnny Knoxville. Why couldn't he allow himself to be eaten and have his blood drunk by cannibals? See, on the cover of Entertainment Weekly this week, Tom Green, and he's messing around with a snake, and he's got and it's like he's, you know, sucking on some cow or whatever he's doing. Why not have your blood sucked by cannibals and then be cooked? To me, that's a hell of a deal. Johnny, roast yourself in a pot, man. Get into a boiling pot and have yourself cooked and made into soup. That would be awesome. Shove a spit up your rear end and then have yourself slow roasted and then eaten. And then come back next week as vomit. To me, record-breaking ratings. Tell me people wouldn't watch that. Because right now, you guys, you ain't got nothing on the fraternity that I belong to in, well, I didn't belong to a fraternity, but the one I hung out with. You got nothing on those guys. You guys have nothing on the average Friday night game of Truth or Dare. Absolutely, I know, forget it. You cats with that whole thing you do. You guys get yourself slow roasted by some cannibals. Now I'm loving it. So anyway, about Easter time, we got into full sugar shock loading up the eggs. Did you guys eat crap? We shoveled it down, man. As you load up those plastic eggs and you've got a handful of Whoppers, you know, those chocolate Whoppers, are those things the greatest moment in your life? And as we're filling up those eggs, okay, another egg bun. Hold on, put it under the bed. And then we had hundreds of eggs that we hid, and, you know, the kids couldn't find them all, so then Marie and I tried to find them. But I noticed one thing after being on this diet now, 8 weeks, I'm at 238, as you know, it's down 30 pounds, almost 30 pounds in 8 weeks. But after being on a diet and eating relatively good food, when you start shoveling down Halloween candy or Easter candy, your stomach is a churning cauldron of hate. It's just, whoa. I don't want to say anything untoward or too graphic, but does poo soup mean any? Does that resonate with anyone out there? Oh, it does? Okay, good. Just wanted to double check. Oh, my God. You know, you think you're eating healthy and everything is fine and, you know, the system is working properly each and every night or morning, depending upon your routine. But then suddenly, out of nowhere, like the hot fist at the end of the wet kiss that the Firesign Theater talked about, lo, those many years ago, suddenly it's just liquid. And you're wondering, what did I do wrong? Oh, now I remember. The hand, like, what, 6 bags of Whoppers and those Reese's Kisses later. Yeah, some bad things happened to your colon. Bad things. Things you don't want to talk about. God, it was funky with a capital funk. All that crap. That's what we ought to call Easter and Halloween. All that crap. And then the big thing is you got to get them to go to church. Now, you know, I was raised Catholic, but I don't go to Mass anymore. But my wife is very devout, so I go with her by means of support. I go to Catholic Mass the way some photographers, well, for instance, like a guy going into the wild to videotape cannibals. That's not that I consider them cannibals. That's more of a National Geographic journalistic experience for me rather than an actual moment of worship. So I go there, and that's what I do. But kids, they hate it, you know. To them, religion for children just does not exist. I don't care what anybody says. Show me a child that's devoutly religious, and I would have his DNA given over to the FBI just in case. Just in case, slip the DNA to the FBI. I'm serious, because I think of Jim Jones, don't you? Like, gather around, everybody. He's like 8, and he's reading Genesis, and he's preaching to people in the corner. Don't you think there's something basically wrong with that? A child... I don't know how to put this. I don't want to offend anybody, really. Is there something wrong with a child that's, like, into the Bible? Isn't there? Something spooky about that. A child needs to be drugged to church. A kid needs to be encouraged to be a good kid. When a kid is just naturally sort of, like, down with religion... Now, Craig's looking at me weird. Were you like that as a kid? Okay, I'm sorry, Craig. I didn't mean to offend you. Craig used to go to church. He'd stand on a street corner with a freaking bullhorn and a sign around. He had a sandwich board around his neck. The end is near, and he's 4. Children, a healthy child, I think, only goes to church if he's forced to go. And if that is the measure, and maybe it's because our 4 kids, that's what they do. They scream and they cry and they kick and they pout and they're ready to rend themselves. And it almost looks like something out of a passion play, the way they're just whipping themselves. Don't make me go, right? So I figure they're healthy. Good. We have to drag them to church. And do you know what Easter is all about?
Yeah, Jesus rose from the dead and went up to heaven.
Okay, and why do we have eggs?
Well, because that represent, I don't know.
You know, because they don't, neither do I. Why do we have eggs? The egg is something. Oh, I get it. Birth, rebirth. I get it. Resurrection, rebirth. Yeah, okay, I understand. Bunny rabbit, I don't get. Chicken, egg, that makes it. The rabbit, I don't get. So, yeah, we had to drag them kicking and screaming to the whole thing, and they come back, and this is a solid day of eating that candy, man. And when, you know, when they're sugar freaks to begin with, when you take them off of candy and some of these guys crash and burn or they turn violent, like they're wielding a laser tag gun at you or something, they're swinging the butt end of a golf club, you know that maybe they ought to get off that stuff. But I went through a major crash yesterday because we were shoveling that crap down, and here is what we put into those eggs. The little Hershey candy bars that come in the purple and gold foil. The Whoppers, the big round chocolate Whoppers. The Reese's tinfoil-wrapped Reese's chocolate and peanut butter cups, jelly beans, an assortment of jelly beans, the Snickers eggs, and the Milky Way eggs. Then, of course, every kid had to have his very own large chocolate bunny rabbit, and to go along with the large chocolate bunny rabbit, a large chocolate egg filled, depending upon the kid, either with peanut butter or some sort of whipped creamed fat seasoned with sugar. Okay, now, along with that, let's see, what else did we go? We got a bag of those, that was Sugar Daddy, those Sugar Daddy caramel popsicles that you couldn't stick in the eggs, so we had to stick those into the basket. Marshmallow chicks, the little chicks that are made out of marshmallow, which suck. You know, they're really funky. I told Maria, don't buy that crap. And she goes, well, it's for you. I said, oh, thank you. And what else did we get? And then, of course, the eggs, which are like, who eats those, right? Kids color eggs, man. They ain't going to eat them. Come on, here's a hard-boiled egg. What are you, nuts? I'll color the freaking thing. You're going to make me eat that. Then the other thing that we went out and bought were the big, solid chocolate battleships, the replica battleships from World War II, and they're filled with cream and peanut butter. And they're about, oh, I'd say a foot long, and they have a replica of the SS Enterprise. They've also got a full-on battle replica of the Arizona, which went down at Pearl Harbor, and it's made entirely of chocolate, and the kids like to eat it and then throw up, because it's kind of their version of Pearl Harbor. Mm, brah! See, there you go. And I'm not even going to tell you where we got those. Then, what Maria came, and I thought this was very nice, they make these big, full chocolate replicas of Harley Davidson's. And we started in on eating that one last night, and we're done. So that's the crap that we ate. So one of these days, somebody's going to make that crap. So that's what I want to tell you about. Plus, I lost a crown on my tooth eating this stuff. There's a, like a gold crown came off the tooth. And, you know, you looks like this empty hole in your mouth. And then I called my wife. She said, I'm going to the dentist on Wednesday. Where's that thing? What thing? Well, the gold thing. Well, I don't know. I threw it away. Threw it away. Because the dentist says to me, can you bring it in? Well, what do you mean? Well, I can glue it back. Oh, okay. I mean, my wife even said to me when that thing fell out of my mouth, she goes, do we have any super glue or anything? Super glue? What am I going to do? Can I actually put super glue in that and put it back in my mouth? I'm not going to do any self-freaking surgery. I'll super glue the thing back in my mouth. Do you know how much dentistry costs? How much that stuff actually costs you when you get the bill? And I'm super gluing my own freaking gold crown back in my mouth. That's great. Use denture bond? Hey, that's not a bad idea. So that was it, man. But I kept working out. I was doing the do. Everything is beautiful. I haven't been on the scale since Wednesday. It's 238. I'm sure after this weekend I've gone up a pound. I will not get on back on the scale. I'm not going to put myself through the depression, the horror, the fear, the color and the pageantry of college football by getting on that freaking scale and seeing that it's up a couple of pounds. I will wait till Wednesday. I will do the job. I will, you know, like that. And there you go. And I'm back on track. 1-800-449-8686. That was our Easter. I didn't hear from either one of you guys. Did you get any eggs or anything? Any chocolate? Did you? Craig is like nodding really energetically. Nikki hid some around his bed. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.